Okay, welcome to another episode of The Apprentice Window Cleaner. We're with Matt Howarth today. Matt, would you like to introduce yourself, where you're from, what your company's called, and what you do?
So my name is Matt Howard. I own Promax Shine. We're a small little family-run exterior cleaning business, and we're based in Nottingham.
Wicket.
Our biggest service is certainly roof cleaning, but we are busy with everything really, on anything for the exterior of your home.
Brilliant. And just to let people know, we met because I bought a soft washing pump off you on Facebook, and we've kind of touched base since then. And you've kind of agreed to come on and share your kind of story. So, how long have you been running your company?
So we started back in 2017.
And did you
So it's six
go on,
years
sorry,
now.
6 years? And was it? Did you have any experience in exterior cleaning before, or did you start it on your own and just go for it?
No, I had no experience. I used to have a well-paid job. I used to work abroad, and I just had enough of being away from home for like 9, 10 months of the year and only getting a few months at home. So funnily enough, I ended up picking a window cleaning industry and all the exterior services that came with it, and it just snowballed on from there.
Okay, and what was the first service that you went into?
So I started with we did all the exterior cleaning services, everything from roof cleaning down to window cleaning, but we did push the window cleaning a lot in the first sort of 2 to 3 years, simply because I just wanted a stable income, because I'd come from a well-paid job
Yeah.
where I could rely on it, and then I went down to like earning nothing straight away. So I built that steady income very quickly.
How did you get your window cleaning customers?
So a fair amount come through Facebook. We did a lot of leafleting, and I did a fair amount of door knocking. So back then there wasn't a huge amount of competition, not as much as what there is now.
Yeah.
So we really pushed with the leaflets. I think that was probably our biggest thing. But we also
Yeah.
did a lot on Facebook. I did a lot of free competitions just to try and drum up some interest. And then I filled out 2 weeks worth of window cleaning. So then I had the other 2 weeks for the other services.
So when you say through Facebook, was that just through your own page or was it through paid
Oh yeah,
ads?
all organic. I didn't pay any sort of Facebook ads. We did it all organically through the Facebook selling groups, because back then it was very flexible. You could post
Yeah.
and do what you like then, not like it is now.
Yeah, it's a lot more
Yeah.
admins.
I don't get involved in it anymore for
Do
that
you not
reason.
really?
No. Yeah.
So what's your main kind of form of advertising now? Is it your
So we
or
have got a big online presence we've got two websites, and obviously the Google Maps listing's very, very good. We've got a hell of a lot of Google reviews. We've played a little bit at Google Ads. I've got a guy who works in-house, does the marketing. He's an ads wizard, so we play at that a little bit. But our biggest reliable source of leads is from leaflets.
cool. And do you deliver them yourselves?
So again, we've got someone who works for us who's doing the marketing, and he also does all the leaflet delivery, because we employ him full time. So there's only so much you can do on the computer with the websites and the Facebook ads. So the rest of the time he's out leafleting, so he's crunching a lot of leaflets.
Wicked. And what areas do you cover?
So we're based sort of just on the outskirts of Nottingham in Hucknall. But we cover pretty much the whole of Nottinghamshire. We do a little bit of Derby, a little bit of Leicester, but mostly we circulate around Nottingham.
Okay, and is it so you've got you've got a marketing guy, who else is in the
So then
business?
there's my partner, that Katie, who runs the office.
Yeah.
So that's definitely one of our biggest key selling points, is that you've got Katie on the phone whenever you like.
Yeah.
She organises everything. She wins all the customers over, because it's just nice to speak to someone who's friendly and very helpful. And she knows as much as I do. She's very clued up on it all.
Yeah.
And then there's There's two guys that are in the vans, is Callum, and then there's a new guy just started, that's Dan.
Yeah. Oh,
And then I
wicked.
do a little bit myself, but not too much.
How I've got to ask, because my wife works in the office, does all the kind of admin and answers the phone and does all the operations. How do you find it working with your wife? Do you ever butt heads or?
We did used to butt heads a little bit, but now we sort of know our roles a lot more. She
Yeah.
does her thing and I do my thing, and she anything I don't do, she picks up that slack. So she does like the job of two or three people, which is very good.
Yeah, the same with my wife. She wears so many hats, and
Yeah.
we're definitely getting better at working with each other. I suppose it's being self-aware of your own kind of weaknesses as well. What was it I was going to say? I remember at the beginning, one evening when we first started working together, I was getting the cold shoulder over dinner. I was thinking, what the hell? What have I done? And it's things like, you didn't say please when you spoke to me about that customer earlier this morning. I'm thinking, flipping hell, this is not going to work. So I've learned to stay in my lane, and it works quite well now. But yeah, it's we definitely try not, we switch off now. That business hat comes off when we go home. And
Yeah, and you have to finish at a good time. Like you can't still be working at 8 o'clock at night, because it becomes stressful all the time. You have to like have a point where it's like, okay, that's it. Phones are down. Emails can wait till tomorrow. That's that.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And what kind of challenges are you facing at the moment? Have you got any challenges that
So
anything?
this year, definitely we've felt a drop off in the amount of custom that we're getting, the amount of leads. I definitely say people have sort of tightened the budget a little bit on what they're going to actually spend. And we have got more competition now, which are a lower end scale of sort of the business, where they're doing things cheap just to get the work, just to be busy. We've sort of learned that and it doesn't work. So
No.
that's why we've just kept pushing on as we are.
I do think, though, the people where the pricing isn't right, they just won't be around for long. Like, you can only do that for a certain amount of time before you go.
Yeah, I've done it when I first started, and I was cheap, and it's
Same.
stressful, and it's no fun. There's no fun
You're
in that.
really busy, but you're not making anything. Yeah, it's
That's it.
yeah, it's not fun. What kind of wins have you had recently, or what things do you think you're doing really well that you can maybe share?
So the leafleting's something that we've pushed more recently, and it generates tens of thousands in leads. That does it. It's brilliant,
Really?
brilliant of way of doing it. If you're in a very scattered area, it's still effective. You're just picking like a day's area that you can cover, and you're just knocking it out. But there's no point doing it yourself because it's too costly. You can generate like £110 an hour, whereas you might only pay a leaflet guy 12, 13, £14 an hour. So just send them out, swallow that cost, and just reap the benefits further down the line, because it does keep trickling. It's not like you leaflet and you've got a lead. It could take them months to call you back. So it's just a continuous circle of keep building up them leaflets going out and waiting for those leads to come in. So yeah, that's definitely one of our success to what has got us here today.
Now that's wicked.
Another strong point is that you do need a good team and to know who does what, because Katie does a really good job at all the admin, at dealing with customers, and I'm very good at then sorting problems. If we have any unhappy customers and Katie can't resolve it, I'm good at then sort of finishing off things and getting it dealt with and moving forward. Because you're going to get them. If you're doing a lot of numbers of jobs, you're going to get some issues here and there. And it's how you deal with it what sort of keeps you going. Another key thing that's probably down to our success is that we've invested in really good equipment, so that we're very efficient at how we work. So we're not faffing around with mixing chemicals or putting chemicals in backpack sprayers, because it's very slow going. It just wastes your time. So investing in the right equipment, and you will crunch through the work a lot faster. And then finally is probably getting the staff trained up in a good way. So I think we're pretty good at it. Still not found the perfect team, and we're still learning how to hire and train. But definitely having a good training program in place before you bring somebody on, and not sort of chucking somebody in the fire and expecting them to help you out of the headache that you've got.
No, I definitely agree with that, and I've only learned that really from recruiting, and then giving it some time to see, shit, I never trained them on that, or I should have done it this way, or they leave because I haven't given them the right training. So I think I always look at myself and think, what could I have done to make that staff member the perfect staff member or the perfect onboarding? And there's a lot that goes into it, I think, if you want to get it right, of recruiting and then having a smooth kind of onboarding period. There's a hell of a lot that goes into it, like prep work and thought. I can't remember. Did you say you train your guys up one-on-one for about a week? Was it before? Or was it a couple of weeks?
Well, it's quite long, yeah. But for the first week, we have like half the week going through the theory. And that's more so talking about not cleaning the thing. It's about dealing with the customer and how you're making that customer feel and what touch points you're working on. The most important part is how the customer feels about the experience.
Yeah.
More so than how clean the thing is that you can deal with. And that's what they need to focus on initially. It's all about the customer experience.
Yeah, you know what? That just reminds me of a story. So I had a bit of a business mentor. And when I started this company, I thought, you know what? I'll clean the windows and she'll help me out and I'll scratch it. And she went, oh, Max, I can't. She's like, you can do all the other services, but you can't do my windows. I said, why? And she went, well, we've had our window cleaner for 15 years. He's lovely. He has a cup of tea. He talks to us. He can't even reach half of the windows on my house. He just leaves them dirty. So for 15 years, there's been these windows that have been cleared, but he's got a connection with them. And he's just got good customer service, and they like to speak to him and have a cup of tea with him. So, like you say, you don't have it. I'm not saying we're not the best at cleaning, because I like to think we're pretty good, but it's not always, like you say, about the cleaning at all. It's about the customer experience and the way they feel about you as well. You can miss a window for 15 years and they're still going to pay you and ask you back next month, for example. So yeah, it's weird to think that, isn't it? But you're 100% right. Just because I know we're both a little bit pressed for time, and I do appreciate you coming on today. Have you got any funny stories that you can share at all, whether it's customer related, cleaning related, staff related, or anything?
So I could tell you about some stories where things have gone wrong.
Yeah, let's go for it.
That would be a good point. I suppose you can put it down to training of staff. Like when you train the staff and you get them to a good point and they're working very well, when they make a mistake, you have to take ownership of that mistake. So you have to put it down to something that you can do to have stopped that from happening.
100%.
It's not their business. They just work there. Obviously, you want them to take ownership of everything, but ultimately it falls on you. You have to sort of adapt and change the way that you're training your staff, or the way that you're not looking at the little details, things that you just take for granted. So always take ownership. So we was doing a roof clean. I wasn't there. Callum, he was working from a scaffolding tower, and his machine, he was steam cleaning the roof. The machine ran out of fuel, so the machine turns off.
Yep.
And the trigger is pinned out on open, so it's flowing.
So
when the machine cuts out,
whack down,
everything stops. Right. Mm-hmm. So the guy goes back down to the van. He's still got a lot of roof to clean, so he's pushing on. He fuels the van up, and he fires the machine up. Without thinking, his trigger is still pulled in on his roof cleaning pole.
Yeah.
So then, once the machine fires up, you've got all that pressure going to that pole. The pole flies off of the scaffolding tower.
Flipping out.
and goes through the next door neighbor's patio set.
Oh, geez.
Smashes the straight for their table. So glass everywhere, lots of noise, unhappy people.
Yeah.
And then we have to rectify it. And we've got a 6-year-old, 7-year-old patio set that we've got to try and
replace like for
match.
Like.
Yeah, we've got to try and find that one for them. So it's funny now. It wasn't so funny at the time, but it's funny now to think about how stupid it was and to not release that trigger. But it's easily done when you're busy and not thinking about it.
Yeah.
So that's a good lesson for people to learn, like just to be aware of what's going off, not just try and fix the problem very quickly without thinking about what the consequences can be of starting that machine back up.
Yeah, definitely. We use foot pedals for ours now, so we don't have the trigger. Honestly, it's so good because as soon as your foot comes off, it goes down. But the thing with that is if you get a bit of cramp or you move your foot, your pole can
you lose that balance.
Yeah, exactly, and it can hammer.
The funny thing there is that you bought those pedals from me.
I was just about to say, did I buy a pedal? Yeah, well, I've got four now, so I did buy two from.
You had two from me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very funny because we needed that pedal on that day.
Oh yeah, why was it recently? Was it?
It was since I think it was since you've had the pedals off of us.
Do you know what? I love the pedals though. I really do. They are heavy to get up there, but once they're up there and you've got your toe boards on and everything, they are really, really good. I'd definitely recommend them. Once with a foot pedal, I didn't realize. So we get ours from Rutland Pumps. I didn't realize they put a flow adjuster on the foot pedal. So I couldn't figure it out. I thought there was something wrong with my pressure washer. I spent hours trying to figure it out. I drove all the way back to Rutland Pump and said, this brand new foot pedal you're giving me is dud, it's rubbish. You know, I've come to you because you're good quality. And they went, yeah, we've tested it for the last 20 minutes. It's working perfect. And then they went, you are adjusting the flow controller, aren't you? And I was like, what flow controller? I felt like an absolute donut. I felt like such a tit. The big arrows that say higher or lower on this little knob coming off the front of it. But I'd just not seen them before. So they'd obviously fitted that without me knowing. And I'd just not twigged on like a complete plonker, but they're really good. As long as you've got a return valve actually on your pressure washer so that, you know, the water's not, if you're reducing it, it's not actually, the water's got somewhere to go. Basically.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, Matt, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much for coming on. I'm sure you've given some nuggets, and we'll keep in contact going forward. If anyone wants to contact you who's listening today, do you want people to? And if you do, is there anywhere they can give you a face, your page?
Yeah, I do help a few people. Mostly, if you send me a message through WhatsApp, I will get back to you.
Yeah. And is that through your Facebook page, or how would people get through to you?
Yeah,
WhatsApp?
You can find me. You can just search up Pro Max Shine through Google. You'll see all our reviews, and we're based at Nottingham. The mobile number there, you get through to me. You ring the landline, you'll get through to Katie in the office.
But
if you WhatsApp me and you have some question, I've no doubt dealt with it. I've worked like a dog for the past sort of 6-7 years, so I've come across a lot of things in that time, and if I can help you, I will. I mean, I'm not the oracle of all knowledge of exterior cleaning or customer service, but we do pretty well. We do get a lot out of the business.
No, that's wicked. And I wouldn't have asked you to come on if I didn't think you had something to offer. So thank you again, Matt. And we'll speak to you soon.
Nice one. Cheers, buddy.
Cheers.